Log Talk Radio.
Did y'all, anybody go to that reception for Sue's daughter? Okay. Memorial, how was that?
It was really good. It was sweet.
Yeah.
And it was
good. Good. Glad to hear that. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started. I'm going to try and cover a couple of chapters. Father, I just thank you so much for your grace and mercy. And Father, we come to you with our petitions for those that are ill, for those that are in the hospital. And we come and we're recognizing the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is who we're speaking to, knowing that you're the one that loves us so much and sent your only Son to die on the cross for us. And we pray, Father, that you comfort those that have lost. We pray for their comfort, for those that have lost loved ones, and pray for those that are ill and in the hospital, and you know who's on our hearts and minds. And Father, I just ask that you lead and guide as we study this passage of Scripture and bring out things that would be helpful to us to really appreciate you, your love, and your way. Now I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 44. I kind of referred to this as a boot camp last week. And if there's anything, they're graduating from boot camp this week. And but we're going to see more than that in this passage of Scripture. It really comes out how gracious God is, and a follower of Christ being obedient to Christ and believing in God, that everything happens, as Romans 8:28 says, all things for we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and that are called according to his purpose. And we'll see that in the verses that we read. Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 44 and verse 14. Judah starts to take over the conversation. Before this, Joseph had planted the divine cup into Benjamin's sack, and now they have been found out, and now, verse 14, they're being sent back to Joseph's house, so you can imagine what kind of horror they're thinking, and how humiliated and fearful for their lives they are. And Judah kind of speaks up here. And Judah's brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there. And they fell before him on the ground, very, very prostrate, very, very humble. And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? Now he's again setting up for them to realize, when they know who he is, that he told them about this a long time ago. In verse 16, and Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? This is where I want to make something stand out. Is in let's go to Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Now, Judah's taken over this thing, this conversation, and he's doing a lot more than that. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, and Let's look here. The book of generations of Genesis of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas.
The other brethren are not mentioned. Only Judas is mentioned.
And I think it's very significant, and it's being brought out here in Genesis, the significance of it. Joseph's not mentioned. He's just one of the brothers. All the other brothers, Levi, all of them mentioned, but Judah, it'll become a little bit clearer in the next verse that we look at. Look at Revelations chapter 5, verse 5. Now, this is after the rapture, and this is during the pouring out of judgment on the earth, and still, I say judgment, God is still in the business of saving people, but it's going to cost them their life during this period of time. But chapter 5, verse 5 says, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. That's Jesus Christ. And so we're seeing, in Genesis, we're beginning to see the genesis of Judah and his part in God's plan and salvation of the nation of Israel, and of his salvation, how his part is going to be taken in the salvation of all mankind. And this is a couple of verses that bring this out. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 40, wherever we were, 44, and 16. Now, I want you, I don't know if I'm doing this out of part, but let's just read what I've got written down here on the handout. It is significant that even though Benjamin was the only one charged, Judah acknowledged that all were equally involved. If Benjamin was guilty, so were they all. This is Judah taking the lead, and he's taking the blame. Furthermore, he confessed their recognition that they all deserved punishment, even though they were innocent in the particular situation. They were very guilty sinners, and God had found out their iniquity. They were very guilty. Well, God had found of them all, and he and his brothers were deeply burdened with the enormity of their deed in selling Joseph into bondage 20 years ago. Now, it was only fitting that they themselves should also become slaves in Egypt for the rest of their days. A totally different attitude. Totally different attitude. Let's see, I'm probably getting out of my, yeah, I am, but that's okay. Let's go to Genesis chapter 37 and verse 26. This is when they had taken Joseph and put him in a pit. And Judah, this is 20 years earlier, and Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelite, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh. And his brethren were content. So they sold him to the Ishmaelites. Now this is the same Judah 20 years later, taken up for Benjamin, who they weren't crazy about too, Joseph's brother, and saying that, no, don't blame Benjamin. We're all guilty of it. Now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 44 and read that passage of Scripture. Any questions? All right, verse Verse 16. We just read that. And Judas said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. That's what we just read in Genesis chapter 37. Behold, we are my Lord's servant, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. All right. Now, verse 18. Then Judah came near unto him. I wish we could act this out. I mean, I really do. It's very. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh, acknowledging his superiority. My Lord asked my servant, saying, here have you a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, we have a father and an old man and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he is alone and is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou sayest unto thy servants, bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidest unto thy servants, except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass when we came up unto the servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go again and buy us a little food. And we said, we cannot go down if our youngest brother be with us. Then will we go down, for we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother be with us. And the servant, and thy servant, my father, said unto us, you know that my wife bare me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces. And I say, and I saw him not since. And if you take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now, therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing what that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die, and thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to grave. You see, unselfish he is now. He's concerned about his father. He's concerned about Benjamin. He's not. He's totally a different attitude, and he gets better. Okay. I don't know what. Am I in verse? Verse 32. For the servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Forever. I like that. You could, look, forever. Judah knows that he is. That the seed of the promised Messiah is coming through him. That's why he uses the word forever. And so he knows that this will be forever changing God's plan. Verse 33, now, therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. Because he's more concerned about God's promises to mankind and to the family of Israel than he is concerned about his own life. And so he says, let the lad go up with his brethren. Verse 34, for how shall I go to my father and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? He's more concerned about Benjamin. He's more concerned about his brethren. He's more concerned about the prophecy that's on his family and the promise of the Messiah and promises that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had. He's not concerned about himself. And he's willing to give himself up as a surety for everyone else, so everyone else could benefit forever. Now, who else did that? Exactly. Jesus Christ. He's a type of Christ. Totally different character now. And this is a picture of Jesus, Judah, giving himself up forever for us, the believers of the future. Now, read with me at Genesis 44, 17 through 24. I think it's Clark in his commentary wrote this. And I think he's talking about another guy by the name of Jackson. When one sees such passages related by men who affect no art and who lived long after the parties who first uttered them, we cannot conceive how all particulars could be so naturally and fully recorded unless they had been suggested by his Spirit, who gives mouth and speech unto men, who being alike present to all successions is able to communicate the secret thoughts of or forefathers to their children and put the very words of the deceased, never registered before, into the mouths or pens of their successors born many ages after, and that as exactly and distinctly as if they had been caught, as they issued out of their mouths. For it is plain that every circumstance is here related with such natural specifications, as if Moses had heard them talk, and therefore could not have been thus represented to us unless they had been written by his direction, who knows all things, forepast, present, and to come. Moses, it was over 400 years before later that Moses was born. But Moses is the one who wrote this. And the specifications of the words and the feeling that you get in this passage of scripture that somebody wrote, and he wasn't there. He was born 400 years later. You have to acknowledge the Holy Spirit involved in the penning and the exact words that are given in this passage of scripture. It says that I think all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then this is a good example of exactly that scripture. What is it? All scripture is given by inspiration of God? Right. Amen. And Peter said it too. That was Paul. And so it's all, and we can see an excellent example of this right here. Okay. Let's see. Any questions? Okay. Let's read on down here. For he lays it out, verse 32, that what a switch from chapter 37:26. That's what we read earlier about Judah, the one that comes up the idea to sell Joseph. Now here's Judah pleading for the life of Joseph's young brother, the favored brother Benjamin. Not jealous, but sticking up for him. Not only that, but willing to be the substitute himself and let everybody else go free. It'll be the substitute. The punishment will be upon me. Everybody else, especially that boy, let him go home. That's a change. Not only is it a change, but I see it as a prefiguring of somebody else doing that. Somebody else giving a substitute of his life so that others could go free. And he talks about Jesus. Okay, Joseph chooses the fourth option. There, okay, the options. There was one Joseph could have done in retaliation. He could have killed him. He could have executed him. He had all the right. He had the power. I don't know about the right. He had the power to kill him because he was Potiphar. He had the power. And so then the second choice was to forgive him and let him go free. Third choice, that's mercy. The third choice was grace, is to let him go free and have something. But we find here that he went past grace, Joseph did, and he provided luxuriously for the people, his people. And he even, as we'll read, he gave them land. He gave them, Mercedes SUVs to take back to get his dad and his other relatives. Gave him all kind of new clothes, you know. So that's grace. That's grace. Here it is. I will forgive them. I will love them. I will lavish my provisions on them as long as they live. Somebody once said, love your enemies. It'll drive them nuts. Authentic, lavish, agape love is a force no one can withstand for a long period of time. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Why did Joseph want everybody to leave? Okay, that's the next chapter. So let's go into the next chapter. Go to 45. And I like what Skip brings out here. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Of course, his attitude was one that he looked at everything in life was God's purpose. Again, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good. And Joseph is a good example of knowing that all things work together for good.
But actually, what God, this was God's plan, God's working, the whole thing was for them to sell Joseph. And now Joseph is preserving the remnant of God's people by being there and being able to feed them.
Exactly. Let's go to 1 Peter. Chapter 4, verse 8. I got that on here. Peter chapter 4, verse 8. There. Yeah, okay. And this is exactly what you're saying. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity covereth the multitude of sins. And this is exactly what Joseph is doing. He is pouring out God's agape love, charity, to these people, to the ones that had sold him and could care less about him. They thought he was dead. Let's go down to where it says, now we're getting to the heart of Joseph's theology. Joseph always had a vertical perspective. This is how he always saw life. Joseph, now this is, A little paraphrase of it, you guys, I see the hand of God in this, so I'm not going to punish you. That's mercy. And not only that, but I'm going to lavishly add to your life so that you will be taken care of for the rest of your life. You're going to come to Goshen, and I'm going to give you the best of the land. That's grace. I remember, and I still experience it today. I'm reminded how God saved me and how he has blessed me in spite of myself in grace, his grace. I got his mercy when I got saved, and now I'm living in a life of grace that is beyond my comprehension. I cannot comprehend why he would bless me so much. A filthy, rotten sinner like this. And that's grace. And we can see how much, we can see it in how Joseph provided for the brethren that hated him, that were jealous of him, that could care less whether he was dead or alive. We see his forgiveness. We see his mercy in forgiving him. And then his lavishly giving to them that grace. Let's read the last paragraph there on page 48. It was a 5 to 6 day walk from Canaan to Egypt, 5 to 6 day walk back. Now he's saying, take carts. Good idea. You know, you don't have to walk. You'll ride in style. You know, the wheel was used in Egypt long before it was used in Canaan by the children of Israel. By the children of Israel or many other cultures, Egyptian chariots and carts were cutting-edge technology for the time. They had wheels with six spokes to distribute the weight and lighten the load. They had sides for the chariots or the carts to protect them from arrows or attacks. They had umbrellas that stretched over the top to protect people from the sun and to carry loads of people or goods. So these brothers got to go back in a long caravan of colorful Egyptian carts and chariots. I wonder what the Canaanites thought when they saw all these chariots going down with the sons of Judah riding in them, and they're riding in first class. Look at this. Take carts out of the land of Egypt to your little ones and your wives. Bring your father and come. Also, do not be concerned about your goods, for the best of the land of Egypt is yours. Then the sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them carts according to the command of Pharaoh. So let's read that here in this in Genesis chapter 45. I like the way the King James says it better. Genesis 45. Verse 1, we'll just read the whole thing. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him. And he cried, caused every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him and with Joseph, while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. In other words, he always spoke to them before through an interpreter. They're all gone. The only thing Joseph could do was to speak Hebrew to them. And so that was probably a shock right there. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him. They were in shock, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brethren, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are five years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. Haste ye, go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. Thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there was I nourished thee. For yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and the household and all of that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that yet ye have seen, and ye shall haste to bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin went upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lay your beast, and go get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your household, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, and for your wives, and bring your father, and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh and gave them provisions for the way. To all of them he gave each man change of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. That's a little taking care of his brother. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for this father by the way, for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that you fall not out of the way. And they went upon all out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan, and Jacob their father, unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and his governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived, and Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Amen. Now,
how did they explain it? First they told him that he was dead.
Right.
Right, not blood. But how did he?
That's good point. Yeah. I would have had it would have to be the right setting for that conversation. You know, after you bring the presents to Dad, maybe after you give him this big present for Christmas or something, say, okay, Dad, we want to tell you something. Or maybe Joseph, you know. But another thing is how Joseph got everybody out of the room. And he didn't want to show off his forgiveness to the Egyptians. This was personal. This was private. It's a private concern. And so he was, he broke it to them privately, his forgiveness for them. He didn't want to brag about it. You know, look how much I've forgiven them for and all, yada, yada, yada. No, it was personal and nobody knew about it. Okay. Now, look at, we're going to close with Genesis 50, verse 15. I'd like to go a little bit further, but it's getting late. Genesis 50:15. Yeah, and another thing is that written down this last paragraph, they were freed that day. Their conscience was clear. I imagine a burden that they felt so much lighter of a burden. And also for Joseph, because he forgave him. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have somebody back in fellowship with them and you forgive them. It's a relief for you. What, brother?
So maybe this plays a part.
Right.
The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins.
Right.
He loved Joseph so much. He most probably didn't even care after he found out he was alive.
And he was relieved that here's his brothers, and they have such a change of heart. There's such a maturity in them. They're not after Benjamin, nothing.
From Joseph's side, Joseph realized that God brought him there to serve him. And so, I mean, the whole thing, which most probably would have been a sad situation, turned into a joyful thing, especially because now Joseph, his son, was alive. I mean,
right.
And now they were going to have everything they needed to sustain them.
Right.
They killed them, right? They killed them. No, they didn't kill them. They never killed them. They had another
one. Killed Joseph?
They sold him to them.
Right. They sold Joseph.
They used his blood, or they covered him with his blood on
everything. Yeah, they took a blood of a goat, and their dad couldn't see that well. And made it look like they had killed, animal had killed Joseph, a wild animal. They couldn't take him. They couldn't stand the guy. Now, but right along those lines, Joseph tested him again. He says, all right, you guys, this Benjamin, or the young one, stole my divine cup, divination cup, right? And so, and then he looks at the other brothers and says, you don't think I can divine? You know, and after the truth came, yeah, we knew you, yeah. And so, but their attitude was, the deal was, whoever had the cup was going to become a slave of Joseph and everybody else was going to go home. And they weren't having no responsibility. We're just going to, we're going to make it the criminal. We're not going to punish everybody else. That's when Judah steps up and says, wait a minute, no. I'm surety for this guy. Yeah, and it's the same guy that said, hey, let's sell Joseph to the Midianites, and we'll just make up some story about Joseph being dead. The same fella. And all the rest of the guys were for it too. So you see this totally different change of heart once they've confessed their sin, and you get this opportunity to repent. They've already repented. Now their actions are showing their repentance, their confession. Amen. No, good point. Oh, yeah, Genesis 50. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us. This is after Jacob died. Peradventure will hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. They still got their conscience. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spoke unto him. Okay? So shall you say. Now, who's this? And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died. So his father did know. Jacob did know, because Jacob told Joseph to forgive him. So shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants of God, of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. So that's the rest of the story. Okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy as we see here. I should say mercy and grace. And we know that this, again, is the promised family, the promised seed that you gave Abraham. And we're seeing this DNA, this attitude, this dedication to the prophecy that they had heard from their great-grandfather, their grandfather, and their dad, and they're following it, they're living it, they're seeing it all the time. And we thank you, Lord, how that your grace is today the same as it was back then, and how you provide for us beyond our understanding, and, Father, how good you are to us. And, Father, I just pray that we would look at that as everything that happens to us is for the good of those that are called according to their purpose. And I pray for everyone to know their purpose. And Father, I pray that we'd all be busy about it, knowing that all things work together for good. And I pray, Father, for the services to follow, that your will done. And I ask these things in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Ma'am?